Welcome to the 2019 Abacus Property Group Annual General Meeting. My name is Myra Salkinder, and I am the Chair of the Group, having been appointed effective 1st September this year, following the retirement of our founding chairman, Mr. John Tame. On behalf of my fellow directors and all at Abacus, I would like to record our thanks to John for all his efforts and dedication to the success of Abacus over many years and wish him well in his retirement. On behalf of the board, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, who are the traditional owners of the land on which we meet today. We pay our respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. Could I request that you now take a moment to ensure that your mobile phones are switched to silent for the duration of this meeting? As it is past the appointed time of 10:00 A.M., I declare the meeting open. This meeting comprises the annual general meetings of the members of Abacus Group Holdings Limited, Abacus Group Projects Limited, and Abacus Storage Operations Limited, in conjunction with the meetings of the members of Abacus Trust, Abacus Income Trust, and Abacus Storage Property Trust. I would like to introduce the other directors who are here today: Stephen Sewell, our Managing Director; Mark Haberlin; Xinmin Qian; and Trent Alston and Holly Kramer, who are both standing for election today. Also present in the audience are members of the Abacus Management Team and the Group's auditor, Cathy Parsons from EY. Turning to the order of business, I'll start with a summary of Abacus Property Group's performance and then hand over to Stephen Sewell for some brief comments. After Stephen has spoken, we will move to the formal business of the meeting, including your questions. During the year, Abacus has executed on its stated strategy to invest capital in real estate opportunities to deliver superior long-term returns and maximize security holder value. Stephen and the team have made solid progress transitioning the Abacus platform towards a strong asset-backed, annuity-style investment house where capital is directed towards assets that provide potential for enhanced income growth and ultimately create value. They have increased exposure to our key focus sectors of office and self-storage through a series of acquisitions and partnerships and undertaken several transactions to reduce exposure to its non-core legacy investments, particularly in the residential and retail sectors. With our transition well underway, we updated the market in August. Abacus Property Group delivered the following results for the 2019 financial year: Group statutory profit of 202.7 million dollars, down 7% from FY18. Funds from operations, FFO, of 129.2 million dollars, down 24% from FY18. And net tangible assets, NTA, per stapled security of 3.33 dollars, up 4.7% on FY18. We were pleased with the result and the progress made as business continues its transition to a strong asset-backed, annuity-style business model. Stephen will elaborate on this performance shortly. We remain committed to growing distribution by 2%-3% per annum and were able to deliver a distribution per security, DPS, of 0.185, growth of 2.8% on FY18. The Group's balance sheet remains in a strong position, and we are maintaining prudent levels of liquidity and gearing. As at the end of 2019, gearing was 24.1%, and post the institutional placement we completed in July, this level dropped to 15.2%. Our balance sheet positions us to pursue value-accretive investment opportunities in line with our strategic priorities and key sector focus of office and self-storage. In summary, the business outlook remains positive as we continue the transition. Our distribution growth remains sustainable despite fluctuations in earnings per security due to higher or lower levels of transactional profits. The board and team at Abacus are proud of the commitment to our sustainability protocol, all of which were further enhanced during the year. We have a strong commitment to our people and focus on providing a safe, healthy, and constructive work environment. Following the implementation of our work, health, and safety strategic plan, we have delivered significant improvements in our performance. Pleasingly, we continue to achieve several diversity and inclusion objectives, including increasing female representation on the board to 50% and satisfying and exceeding our target of 30% female new hires to the group. In conclusion, the Abacus board remains focused on ensuring the group delivers long-term value to security holders. The board and I believe we have a focused and capable executive team in place to take advantage of the opportunities the business has, and I would like to thank them for their dedication as we transition the business. In closing, I would like to thank all security holders for the continued support. I'll now ask Stephen to give you an update on the group's performance and strategic direction before we then move to the business of the meeting. At the conclusion of the business of the meeting, I will open the meeting to general questions.
Thanks, Mara, and welcome everybody. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And in particular, I would like to add my thanks to John Thame in the audience today for his efforts, support and particularly wise counsel over the last 2 years since I joined the group. And also, I see Bill Bartlett sitting in the audience, a former member of the board. I'd like to just acknowledge his efforts and commitment to the company. On our strategy, as Myra mentioned, we continually review prevailing market conditions, look at all our projects, the status and outlook of our projects, and continue to refine and define the strategic direction, giving prominence to the sectors where we believe we have a clear competitive advantage. Abacus's capital allocation framework focuses heavily on increasing our exposure to commercial office and self-storage markets, while purposefully and deliberately reducing our exposure to retail and residential markets, particularly at this point in the cycle. Increasing exposure to these asset classes, office and self-storage, we believe the results have delivered and will deliver a smooth and deliberate transition of the group to a strong asset-backed annuity-style business model, and that will enhance our ability to maintain our targeted distribution growth of between 2% and 3% per year. Pleasingly, as I said, during financial year 19, we've been able to execute on this strategy and directed substantial capital towards assets that will provide enhanced income growth and ultimately value for shareholders. Our people in the organisation, our market insight and capability to reposition assets, together with some strategic partnering we've undertaken, are the key enablers of this strategy. In particular, a combination of existing, established and some new collaborative partnerships have created enduring opportunities for the group and facilitated this capital recycling program. Capital redeployment initiatives, some that have occurred post-balance date, include in the office sector, the investment we made up in Brisbane at 2 King Street, Fortitude Valley, in conjunction, $170 million 50% partnership with the Heitman Group, following on from some long-dated collaborations the group has had with Heitman. Down in Melbourne, we set a new partnership with the Tarascio family at Salter Properties to acquire a block of land and will build a brand new office complex, mixed-use complex in Richmond, an exciting project in a fantastic precinct. Up here in Sydney, a new partnership with the Charter Hall Group and some of their funds. We've invested into a landmark Sydney CBD tower at 201 Elizabeth Street, up on Hyde Park on the corner of Park Elizabeth and Castlereagh Street. A $202 million investment for our 32% interest in conjunction with a consortium that's been managed by Charter Hall. And as well, quite publicly, Australian Unity Office Fund, again in partnership with Charter Hall Group. We have a proposal in the market to acquire all the units in the Australian Unity Office Fund. We're doing everything in our power to acquire all the units in Australian Unity Office Fund. And that is the subject, that transaction will be the subject of a unit holder meeting for those investors in Australian Unity Office Fund, hopefully on Monday morning in Melbourne. In the self-storage sector, we've been able to make over $180 million in the year of established or new store acquisitions, as well as several redevelopments. Our investments as well are in conjunction with our partners in respect of the Storage King platform. And pleasingly, as Myra mentioned, we were able to undertake disposals of over $250 million of legacy residential investments and some of the non-core retail assets at or above our book value. We've successfully completed the placement Myra mentioned in July, $250 million, in conjunction helped by our friends at Macquarie and Shaw and Partners. And this enabled the Abacus balance sheet to be positioned in a very robust state with very low levels of gearing, as well growing our net asset backing by 4.7% for the year to $3.38 after the placement. Our debt position after the placement, we believe, is prudent at this point in the cycle. Across the year, the finance team, led by Rob, was able to refinance over $1 billion of facilities, extending the debt duration to more than 5 years, and we have no debt expiries coming up in this financial year. This positions the business in great shape to take advantage of opportunities as they arrive. And also, we have terrific support from our banking partners for existing and new acquisition opportunities. In the office space, after a number of acquisitions, our portfolio is now valued at over $1 billion on a fairly conservative cap rate of 5.71%. Our existing and stabilised office portfolio delivered like-for-like rental growth of in excess of 7%, with occupancy increasing by almost 5% to 91.8%. And at the end of the year, the weighted average lease expiry increased also to over 3.5 years. We're very confident that as we transition the group into more superior, larger quality office investments, we fully expect that these operating metrics of all our assets will continue to improve. And that's a key determinant for us selecting where we invest, particularly in the commercial office space, is office locations that we are confident of the amenity improving or where we see major infrastructure investment being undertaken, such as opposite the 201 Elizabeth Street office building. Self-storage is a key focus for the organisation, and we continue to direct capital towards it, as I mentioned, making over $180 million of acquisitions and developments. We did purchase through the year a 25% interest in our operator, Storage King, and have a fantastic working relationship with our partners at Storage King. On the residential side, we have seen substantially reduced levels of market activity in residential, and that in the storage business has translated towards softer trading conditions in the self-storage business, with our occupancy stabilising or falling marginally by 90 basis points, and revenue per available meter growing only moderately by 1.2%. In spite of this, and I suppose with the increases we're starting to see in the residential market, we remain very confident and optimistic on the self-storage sector in Australia, as well adopting what we believe is a prudent multi-pronged growth strategy, which includes acquisitions, developments, expansion and optimisation of some of the existing 70-odd locations we have across the country and in New Zealand. Non-core and legacy investments, we remain increasingly cautious on the macro factors, particularly as they impact retail, and we are starting to see some green shoots in the residential market. We have made significant progress in realising our equity, some long-held investments in this space, and we will continue to work where we can on those investments to maximise their value and seek to optimise their value for when we can realise that equity. Our guidance for the year remains, we're confident of delivering between 2 and 3% growth for fiscal year 20. And given the transactional nature of disposing some of these non-core assets, we fully expect that the payout ratio of the group will lift to between, in a range of between 85 and 95%. Of funds from operations, which will be fully supported by increased contribution from the better quality, consistent annuity style earnings. So in conclusion, overall, we are very confident about the outlook for the group and our strategy to position us to deliver distribution growth over the course of this year and beyond. I would also like to take the opportunity of thanking all the Abacus team for their continued hard work and commitment. Thank my fellow directors for their guidance, expertise across the year, and of course you, our security holders, for your continued and valued investment in Abacus. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. This now brings us to the formal part of the meeting. Turning now to the business of the meeting, I propose to identify each resolution and then open the item for discussion. You are entitled to ask a question or speak to a resolution if you are a security holder or the representative of a security holder. If you are, you should be holding a blue voting card. If you want to ask a question or make a statement, would you please raise your card? I will put up on the screen the proxy votes on the resolution. All valid open proxies directed to the chair will be voted in favour of the resolution. Voting on all resolutions will be conducted by a poll at the end of the meeting once we have discussed all resolutions. I will explain the poll voting mechanism at that time. Minutes of the previous meeting. The last meeting of Abacus Property Group was held on the 15th of November 2018. The minutes of that meeting were approved by the board and signed by the chairman of that meeting in accordance with the provisions of Section 251A of the Corporations Act. The original minutes are tabled and there are copies of those minutes available for inspection should any member want to see them. Would anyone like to speak to this item? We have our auditors present to answer any questions related to the conduct of the audit and the preparation of the audit report. Moving on to the notice of meeting. The notice of meetings dated 4th October 2019, setting out the business for today's meeting, was sent to all security holders. Unless there is an objection, I suggest we take the notice of meetings as read. Thank you. The first item of notified business is to consider the 2019 annual financial report and other reports. Would anyone like to speak to this item? We have our auditors present to answer any questions relating to the conduct of the audit and the preparation of the audit report. Resolution 2, adoption of remuneration report. Resolution 2 is to adopt the remuneration report, which is set out on pages 17 to 30 of our 2019 annual financial report. The remuneration report explains the board's policy in relation to the nature and amount of remuneration paid to directors and executives and the link between remuneration and performance conditions. We have continued to seek feedback and update the report where possible. I now put the motion that the remuneration report for FY19 be adopted. Here are the proxies received in respect of the resolution. While the vote on this item is advisory only and not binding, it does present an opportunity for you to ask questions about or make comments on the remuneration report. If anyone would like to ask a question or make a statement, please raise your card. We will leave the voting until we have discussed all resolutions. The next item of notified business concerns the election of directors to the boards of Abacus Group Holdings Limited, Abacus Group Projects Limited, and Abacus Storage Operations Limited. Resolution 3.1 is to elect Holly Kramer as a director of the companies. Holly, could you please stand while I introduce you? Holly is an independent non-executive director. She brings a significant range of skills and expertise in a number of important areas relevant to our business, including a strong customer lens, given her career across consumer and retail, with customer centricity and marketing. She has substantial ASX governance experience, including leading various remuneration committees. Holly is currently Deputy Chair of Australia Post, a non-executive director of Woolworths Group Limited, Western Sydney University, and the Go Foundation, and a member of ASIC's external advisory panel. Holly holds a Bachelor of Arts, Economics and Political Science from Yale University, and an MBA from Georgetown University. Holly's appointment is in line with our commitment to the board, to board renewal. Thank you. Resolution 3.2 is to elect Trent Alston as a director of the companies. Trent, could you please stand while I introduce you? Trent is an independent non-executive director. He has over 30 years of experience in the real estate and funds management industries, with the last 13 years as head of real estate for Challenger Limited. Trent has performed direct and wholesale property roles at Colonial First State Property and Lendlease. Trent holds a Bachelor of Building Honours from the University of New South Wales and graduate management qualifications from Australian Graduate School of Management and INSEAD. Trent's appointment is in line with our commitment to board renewal. Resolution 3.3 is to re-elect Xingmin Qian as a director of the companies. Xingmin, could you please stand while I introduce you? Xingmin is an independent non-executive director. She has been a member of the board since 2017 and is a director of Xing Meridian, specializing in advising boards and senior management on investment, strategic management, and cross-cultural management. She has significant expertise in the property, infrastructure, and resource sectors, as well as rich experience in Asia. Xingmin holds a Bachelor degree of Economics from the University of International Business and Economics in Beijing, and an MBA from Australian Graduate School of Management in Sydney. She is a CFA charter holder and a fellow of the Australian Institute of Company Directors. Here are the proxies received in respect of these resolutions. The resolution is open for discussion. If anyone would like to ask a question or make a statement, please raise your card. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome our new directors and announce that we have now completed our board renewal process. Resolution 4 seeks security approval to allocate to the Managing Director of Abacus Property Group, Stephen Sewell, deferred variable remuneration in the form of deferred security acquisition rights under the group's remuneration plan. Details of the plan were provided in the explanatory memorandum that accompanied the notice of meetings. I now put the motion that 177,666 deferred security acquisition rights granted to the Managing Director. Here are the proxies received in respect of this resolution. This resolution is open for discussion. If anyone would like to ask a question or make a statement, please raise your card. Resolution 5 seeks security approval to refresh Abacus Property Group's 15% placement capacity. Details of the plan were provided in the explanatory memorandum that accompanied the notice of meetings. I now put the motion that Abacus Property Group 15% placement capacity be refreshed. Here are the proxies received in respect of this resolution. The resolution is open for discussion. If anyone would like to ask a question or make a statement, please raise your card. Now that we have discussed all the resolutions, we will move to the voting. The proxy votes are displayed on the screen above. If you are holding a voting card, you will find a list of all the resolutions printed on the reverse of the card. You need to mark your card on all resolutions. I have appointed Steve Hodkin, a representative of our registry, as the returning officer. You should have been given a voting card upon registration. If you do not have it or need an additional card, please raise your hand and a representative of the registry will assist you. If a proxy chooses to vote, they must vote as directed in the proxy form appointing them. The registry has a record of those directions. Apart from directed votes of proxies, a person voting need not cast all their votes and may cast their votes in different ways. The wording in the poll card distributed assumes that you will vote all your securities and that you will vote them in the same way. If you want to cast less than all your votes, you will need to amend your poll card and record the number of votes you want to cast. If you want to vote some votes in favor and some against, you will need to indicate this on the poll card, recording the numbers of securities voted each way. The other parts of the poll card must be completed as indicated on the poll card. If there are any questions as to the directions given, please do not hesitate to ask and we will give you further directions. The voting cards are collected once completed and the count will be undertaken by the returning officer. Calculation of the votes can take a little while. Once the results have been completed, they will be announced to the ASX. You will also find the results of the voting on the Abacus Property Group website later today. We will now continue with the rest of the meeting. This concludes the notified business of the meeting. I will now open the meeting for a period of general questions. Please raise your hand if you wish to ask a question. It's wonderful to chair this meeting and my first experience, have no questions and not wonder how to I'm going to deal with them. Is there any other business which may be lawfully brought forward to this meeting? There being no further business, I now declare the Abacus Property Group meeting closed. Now that the formalities are over, I'd invite you to join us for some light refreshments.